Welcome back to the Marriage Day Podcast. I'm Jimmy Evans. I'm so glad that you joined me today. This special episode today is about how the devil uses trauma and pain against us. It's a series I did called The Hurt Pocket. Make sure to stick around until the end to hear the secret to making sure the devil doesn't have a hold on your life. To watch this entire series on XO Now for free, click on the link in the description. Thanks for listening. God bless you. The devil uses pain and trauma in our lives is an opportunity to speak. And let me say this now. I don't believe the worst thing about pain is the pain itself. And I think you would agree with that. The worst thing about pain is the message that it brings. Because there's always a message in pain. Rejection, abuse, disadvantage, disappointment, failure, sin, sickness, chronic sickness, trauma, loss. All of those things are an opportunity for the devil to come and to use those to deceive us. Jesus said, "The thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly." The devil, what makes the devil dangerous is not just that he's evil, it's that he disguises himself. And we're going to read a story in just a minute about Adam and Eve, but when the devil came to Adam and Eve, he didn't come as the devil. He never does. He came as a serpent. And serpents are dangerous because they're so stealthy. They don't present themselves. And so he came not presenting himself, but just bringing this argument in Eve's mind about sin and God and the Word of God and all those kinds of things, ultimately causing them to fall. But let me tell you the devil's perfect disguise. This is what makes him so dangerous. His perfect disguise is us. See, many times when the devil is introducing thoughts into our minds, we don't know it's the devil until you learn to uncover the devil's lies and his deceptions. And you know about spiritual warfare, which means taking our thoughts captive that I'll talk about. And so you're his perfect disguise. And I'm going to say something to you, and I want you to listen, because in this message, I want you to think about what I'm saying right now. Many of the things that have hurt your life the most that are in your mind were actually introduced by the devil, not you. You did not tell yourself those things. God certainly, in his second favorite disguise is God. See, he loves just to introduce thoughts into our mind and for us to believe that they came from us, because that way we're not going to resist them, because they're our thoughts, not his thoughts. But his second favorite disguise is God. And this is what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, "I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus." And what Paul is saying here is, I'm afraid, because exactly the same way by stealth that the devil came and corrupted Eve, he said, "I'm afraid for you, that he's going to steal you away from God." And then he goes on, 2 Corinthians 11:13, "Such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." And see, when the devil is coming to lie to you, sometimes he wants you to believe it's God. Sometimes he wants you to believe that God is speaking to you, because his only purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. What he can't steal, he kills, and what he can't kill, he'll destroy. And so Satan is going to constantly be coming to us, introducing thoughts into our minds, especially using hurt and trauma as his open door to do that. Let me give you two biblical examples of this. And the first is Adam and Eve. And this is Genesis chapter 3. "The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it nor touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" Then let's go down to verse 8. It says, "They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded that you should not eat?'" So the devil comes to Adam and Eve, especially Eve, it begins with Eve, and he says to them, "Has God surely said that you can't eat from these trees?" And she says, "Well, the day that we eat of the tree, we'll die." And he says, "You won't die. Was that true? Well, they did die. He's a liar. He always lies. And so he accused God. Let me say this. The devil's really good because he convinced two perfect people in a perfect paradise that the person who put him there was evil. You got to be good when you can do that. Let me just say this about God. Our God is a fabulous God. He didn't create us in hell. He didn't create us in a ghetto. He didn't create us in a wilderness. He created us in a paradise because he's a good God. And the Bible begins in a paradise and it ends in a paradise because our God is a good God. But the devil's always out to accuse God, and he'll use any circumstance. But he's so good, they had no trauma in their past. They didn't have a bad daddy or a bad mama. They didn't grow up in poverty. They had never had a bad day in their life. But here comes the devil, accusing God to them and convinces them there's something wrong with God. So they eat the fruit. And the instant they eat the fruit, see, they began to hide from God. And God walks up and he says, why are you hiding from me? And he says, I was afraid because I was naked. Wait just a minute. Who made him naked? God made him naked. Without shame. Genesis 2:25 says, and they were both naked without shame. They had no fear whatsoever of their nakedness, but God says this to Adam. That's a question. And by the way, God never asks a question to get the answer. He asks a question to give the answer. Who told you that you were naked? He's trying to get Adam to think. How did this thought get into my head? God made us naked. We weren't ashamed of our nakedness 10 minutes ago. How did this thought get into my head? Well, let me give you the answer. The devil came and tempted them and deceived them. They ate the fruit, and when they ate the fruit, they made a mistake. They sinned. And the instant they opened the door through their sin and failure, that opened the door for him to speak this into their spirits. You're defective. There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. Your bodies are detestable. Was that true? They were glorious. They lived for over 900 years. These people had bodies. These people were beautiful. These people were glorious. They were made in the image of God. It was the exact opposite of the truth. There's something wrong with you. So all of a sudden, the devil's perfect desire comes true. They divide from each other and God. See, that's all the devil ultimately wants to do is just keep you from God and healthy relationships, because that's what he hates the most. He hates family. He hates marriage because it looks like God. He hates God. He wants to keep you away from God. So ultimately, all he's trying to do is to keep you separated from God in any healthy relationship by introducing lies into your mind. Who told you that you were naked? Who told you that you were worthless? Who told you that you couldn't succeed? Who told you that you were nobody? Who told you that God couldn't use you? Who told you that God didn't love you? Who told you that? Because every single one of us at some point in our lives, in pain, in trauma, in failure, there's that thought. Adam didn't understand who gave him that thought, but he was afraid. He was hiding from his healer. He was hiding from his maker, and he was divided from his wife. That's the mark of the devil. The devil's evil. He never keeps a promise, and he never will. It's amazing to me that a God who is so faithful could be so mistrusted, and a devil who has never kept a promise could be so followed. That's an amazing thing to me. Here's another example. It's the Apostle Peter. This is Matthew 16. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. But then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Can you imagine being in an argument with Jesus and him calling you Satan? I mean, you say, Jesus, well, you know, knucklehead maybe, but not Satan. You know what I mean? Well, he wasn't talking to Peter. He was talking to Satan. Let me tell you this story. Peter was a fisherman. And there's nothing wrong with fishermen, but they were commoners. And one day the Son of God walked up to the Sea of Galilee and said, come follow me. And he became somebody. He wasn't just a fisherman anymore. He was the follower of the Son of God. And Jesus raised the dead in Peter's presence. Peter was known among Israel as a follower of Jesus Christ. He was someone. He would stand with Jesus in the presence of multitudes when he fed the 5,000. All of the miracles of Jesus. I mean, Peter was there as an eyewitness. He was somebody. He was somebody. And I don't know what had happened to him earlier in life, but maybe he felt like he was nobody. So Jesus plainly is telling the disciples, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to be killed. He just told them flat out. He told them many times. I'm going to do it. Well, Peter is hearing through trauma. And the devil uses those kinds of, well, by the way, that's the best news they had ever heard. Jesus is going to die, become the Savior of the world. Peter's going to get filled with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and become the preeminent apostle of Jesus. It was all good news, but when you're hearing through ears of pain, you hear different. And Jesus is telling them all good things, but here's what Peter hears. I'm going to go back to being a nobody. I'm going to lose the only person who's ever believed in me. I'm going to be the laughingstock of Israel. And here's what he's hearing. So in his pain and in his fear, that is, Satan is there as a serpent. Peter doesn't know it. Jesus knows it. As a serpent, the devil is there introducing thoughts into Peter's mind. And Peter says, no, it will not happen to you. And Jesus turns around and says, you get behind me, Satan. And Peter's like, whoa, excuse me. Satan's right there. He was at the Last Supper. Satan was present at the Last Supper because at the Last Supper, he entered the body of Judas Iscariot. And Jesus knew he was there because he turned to him and said, you're the son of the devil. See, we don't get it sometimes. We don't get it. It's not always Satan himself, but it's demonic entities that are there to ruin our lives. And in Peter's trauma, he's hearing Jesus speak. It's touching a nerve in him of insecurity, a nerve of fear, a nerve of previous pain. And there's the devil using that opportunity to introduce those thoughts into his mind. When we're hurting, we're vulnerable. And we all go through pain. And in those times, we have to be careful. Ephesians 4 says, be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Be angry. Well, what causes anger? A lot of times pain causes anger. You hurt me and I'm angry. And it says, but don't go to bed on that because you'll give diabolos. It's another name for the devil. It means slander. When you go to bed on your anger, the devil will come and use that as an open door to interpret people's behavior to you. Today's anger is manageable. It's fresh. There's nothing wrong with today's anger. Today's anger will never present a problem in your life. Yesterday's anger has been talked to by the devil.
Hey there, Jimmy Evans here, and today I want to share something with you that's changed the way so many people approach sleep entirely. It's Cozy Earth bedding. They sent us some sheets and sleeping sets, and they are the softest thing we've ever felt. The softness was remarkable, akin to nothing we've ever experienced. For anyone who values their sleep as much as I do, Cozy Earth is a game changer. What impresses me most about Cozy Earth isn't just the incredible softness or the temperature regulation, it's the commitment to quality. All of their products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. They're built to endure, and that's something I stand behind. I recommend Cozy Earth to everyone, friends, family, you name it. Here's a special offer just for you. Use promo code MARRIAGE35 at CozyEarth.com to take 30% off your order. Trust me, this is a deal you want to take advantage of. Head over to CozyEarth.com and use the code MARRIAGE35 for 35% off. Discover the Cozy Earth difference tonight. Sleep better, live better, good night, and take care.
Yesterday's anger has been in counseling with the devil. And you have a fight with your spouse, and you deal with it today, and you wake up tomorrow, you're still in love, and everything's fine. You have a fight with your spouse, you go to bed on it, you wake up tomorrow morning, and you think you're married to the devil or his ex-wife. Because the devil says, you want me to tell you about them? And all night you're laying there stewing, and he's interpreting. He's using your pain and your anger as an opening. This is what we're being cautioned. Go ahead and be angry. There's nothing wrong with that, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. You'll give Diabolos an entry point into your life. He's the hurt whisperer. He's the hurt whisperer. If we have hurts, unresolved hurts or life issues, we have faulty messages within us. And most of us do. If you have an unresolved issue in your life of pain, I promise you, there is a thought. The pain isn't the worst part. The worst part is the thought, the message that came in that pain. Karen and I both had these, and through the pain of my past, I came into adulthood with 5 main messages. The first is I was a freak. This was a message that I had early in life. I was taller than my second grade teacher. I had a big silver tooth here because I got my next door neighbor shot this out with a slingshot. And when the doctor replaced it, he gave me a tooth I could grow into. And it was a big, big silver tooth. And my brothers, Damien and Lucifer, they called me. That joke always works, and I just love it because they did to me. I have the microphone now, and but my brothers call me Bucky the Silvertooth Beaver. That's good for your self-esteem, isn't it? So that was just through my physical, features when I was a kid, there was a message in me till adulthood that I was a freak. Something wrong with me. Anything good will be taken away from me. Anything good. I remember I played baseball, and I remember I was on a baseball team, and I just was having big time. I was maybe 10 years old, and I came home and from baseball practice one day, and my mother said, you can't play on the baseball team anymore. And I said, what's wrong? Because my birthday was October. I was too old. And that happened so often that I would get something and lose it. And I had this message that anything good I have will be taken away. I'm a burden, and I'll talk about that more in just a minute. That was a message in my spirit. If people really knew me, they would reject me. That's the way I felt. And I'll always be disappointed. Karen, here are the messages that Karen came into adulthood with. There's something is wrong with me and it can't be fixed. And when I was preparing this message, I asked Karen, what do you think your messages were? She said, that was the big one. The big one. And it came through pain. I'm stupid. I'm fat and I'm ugly. There's something mentally wrong with me and I'm not normal. These were the thoughts. And I remember when I married Karen, that's the way she thought. That I've never met a person with more self-hate than Karen when we got married. Other common thoughts that people come into adulthood with, I'll never succeed. God loves other people more than me. People who are pretty, spiritual, talented. I've sinned too much for God to forgive me. You can't trust people. They'll always disappoint you. If God loves me, why did he allow blank to happen? Where was God? Maybe it was the death of a loved one or something like that. I can't change. I'll always be this way. I'll never be a good Christian. Something bad is going to happen to me or my family to pay me back for what I've done or because I don't have enough faith. God can't use me. It's hopeless. I won't go to heaven. I've got to take care of myself because nobody else will. And those are just some of the examples of how in our pain the devil comes to lie to us and embed these messages that we think are normal or we think are just us, but they're not. They're the devil. So I want to talk about how to destroy the devil's lies that limit our lives. And I want to say this now. I think everybody's got them. If you've never dealt with this, I'm just going to tell you got them. And especially if you've got unresolved pain in your life and issues in your life, these things are in there. So how do you get rid of them? Well, the first step is to expose the thought to the light. And even ask, you may know the thought. As we're sitting here talking, you can just make yourself a list. Okay, but sometimes we don't. Ask the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And Jesus said he'll lead you into all truth. So I was, there's been so many things the Lord has set me free from, including all those thoughts that I just mentioned. I'm free from those. I don't know, it was maybe 15 years ago or so, and I was having a quiet time one morning, and here's what the Lord said to me. You're a blessing and not a burden. And when the Lord said that to me, it was like, nope, I can't accept it. Well, let me tell you, I thought I was a burden. My brothers are older than me, and they both went to college before me. And my parents, we weren't poor, but we were a million miles from rich. And my parents struggled to provide for us. I worked my way. I had a paper out when I was 10 years old at 4 o'clock in the morning. I sold donuts door to door. I mowed yards. I plowed. I hauled hay. I worked in a car wash. I delivered appliances. I worked in this feed house right down the street here, this big warehouse down here. I worked down there. And I worked my way through high school. And my parents gave me a roof over my head, and that's all they could afford. And my brothers were in Texas Tech. And I would regularly hear phone calls from my brothers asking for money, and I would hear my parents talk. Well, I knew they didn't have any money. And I felt the burden for them of just their financial stress. So I didn't ask for anything. And so I felt like a burden. So the first job I had was in the appliance business, and I delivered, but then I became a salesman. And when I became a salesman, the owner of the store told me, I'll pay you 6% commission. Well, the first month I sold, I was the top salesman. I mean, I told Karen, I've never even thought about this much money, because at the end of the month, I don't know, I was going to make $2,000 or $3,000, and I'd never even thought I'd see that much money. So at the end of the month, he walks up and hands me a check, I don't know, from like $1,200. And I took the check and I said, well, no way, you said you were going to pay me 6% commission and I sold this much. And he said, you just sold more than my top salesman. I can't pay you that much. And I thought to myself, I didn't say it, I thought, well, I think you're talking to your top salesman, actually. And I went home and Karen said, what happened? I said, he told me it was too much. And so I went to work for my dad in the appliance business, and we had a partner. And I didn't make much anyway, but I took a cut in pay to go to work for my dad. And I mean, I worked hard for my dad. And it had been a couple of years and our business was profitable. And so my dad, after 2 years of just unbelievably hard work, my dad gave me a $1,000 bonus. Our partner lived in Lubbock. When he found out about that $1,000 bonus, he drove up, got in my dad's face and said, what do you think you're doing paying your son like that? Well, first of all, I made peanuts. I worked about 70 hours a week, and that's the first little hint of anything that I'd ever gotten. And my father said, you buy me out or I'll buy you out, but you will not tell me not to bless my son. I thank God for my father standing up for me. But there's a message. The message continues. You're a burden. You're not a blessing. Wherever I went, I felt like a financial burden wherever I went. So at the church, when I went to work for the church, I went to work for the church for $26,000. They offered me $22,000. And I couldn't do the math on that. And I wanted to, and we were willing to sacrifice. But then they came back a few months later and bumped it up to $26,000. But when I came to work for the church, you know, we were struggling financially as a church, and I felt like a burden here. I didn't want to take anything from the church. And so I woke up one morning, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you're a blessing and you're not a burden. You're a blessing and you're not a burden. And that challenged every message I'd ever received about my life. Because from day one, I felt like wherever I went, I was a burden. Can I tell you something? I'm a blessing. I'm not a burden. I couldn't, and let me tell you the importance of that. I couldn't receive. If anybody wanted to do anything for me, I couldn't receive it because I felt like I can't take that because I'll be a burden. But I've learned to receive in a healthy way. I'm not a moochy preacher, thank God. You know, but I'm saying, I've learned to receive knowing that I'm not a burden, I am a blessing. And I can go to God and boldly ask Him for anything that I need, knowing that I'm not a burden to my God. And that's an example of a thought being exposed to the light. And I honestly did not consciously know that that thought was in me until the Lord spoke to my heart. Let me say this to you now. When you get before the Lord in your quiet time, you need to enunciate. You need to say those things that are in your heart that maybe you feel ashamed of. Maybe, you know, before this message, you didn't even realize how deadly it was or the origination of that. You need to say to God, God, this is a thought in my head, and I bring this into the light. But you also need to say to the Holy Spirit, if there's something in me that I'm not even aware of, Holy Spirit, speak that to my heart and repair these faulty thoughts that are in there through the disappointments and pain and failures in my life. And He will. He'll be faithful to it. And let me tell you about the Holy Spirit. He won't overwhelm you. He's very patient. So He'll do it in His time. But he'll begin to do it immediately. But when the devil works in darkness, but God works in light. And when you bring it into the light, it's now in God's domain. The second thing that you do is to expel any thought that doesn't agree with God's word. 2 Corinthians 10. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The weapons of our warfare are taking, the warfare is in our minds. This is Golgotha. Jesus died on Golgotha. This is the place of a skull. And Satan attacks us just like Adam and Eve, just like he did Peter. He attacks us in our mind because whoever controls our mind controls us. And if we're not free in our minds, we're not free. And these arguments, these high things in our minds that exalt themselves, these strongholds that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, we have to take them captive. We have to take these thoughts into obedience to Christ. And that means every thought in my mind, I'm going to compare it to what God says to me. And this is the third point here, and my final point. Express your agreement with God's word. Confess God's word. When God began to speak to me that I was a blessing and not a burden, I had to begin to say it with my mouth. I'm a blessing and not a burden. I'm a blessing and not a burden. And when I began to agree, I had to put faith in what God was saying because I knew it was true, but my heart didn't agree with it because of the pain of my past. And so express your agreement. What does God say about me? And here's the issue. You may be saying to yourself, I'll never succeed. Well, you know, I've done too much for God to forgive me and all those kinds of things. Well, what does God say about you? Here's Jeremiah 29:11, and I love this scripture because of the context of it. God says, I know my thoughts that I think toward you. Now, the reason I love that scripture is, have you ever been in an argument with someone trying to tell you what you're thinking? A woman, excuse me, I didn't mean that. Karen's gone and I feel real bold. But have you ever been in an argument with someone and they're just telling you what you're thinking? And you're saying, you don't know what I'm thinking. Don't tell me what I'm thinking. Jeremiah 29:11, they're telling God what he's thinking. You don't love us. You've forsaken us. What have you done with us? And I love the context. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Don't tell me what I'm thinking. Thoughts of good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Psalm 139 says that the day you were created in your mother's womb, that God had so many thoughts about you, they couldn't be numbered. They're more than the sand on the seashore. God, in detail, planned out your life, and every thought was a good thought. And nothing the devil has done is cancel out God's good plan. And regardless of where you are in life, God can get you back on the path in a short period of time. What does God say about me? What does God say? And you have to agree with that. You have to begin to confess that. Whatever's been done to you in life, God doesn't throw away people. You haven't done too much that God can't use you. You're going to be successful if you obey God. People may have told you that you wouldn't be successful. You may have been sitting somewhere in a funeral and the devil said to you, if God loved you, then why would he allow this to happen? Listen, I don't understand everything about God, but I don't want a God so small that I can understand him. But in those times in life that life is beyond our ability to comprehend, we simply have to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be, I don't understand this. I don't understand this. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me tell you something. After living as long as I've lived, there were things that I didn't understand 30 years ago. And I stand here today and I say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because he did it and it all worked out for his good. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't let the devil camp out in your brain. Don't let the devil use pain as an opportunity to slither up and whisper a lie that's going to ruin your life. And all of us have done it. All of us have done it innocently because we just don't know how to deal with these kind of issues. People don't typically teach us this kind of stuff. And so pain accumulates in our hurt pocket. And that hurt and that pain becomes a place of darkness for the devil to come and whisper thoughts and lies that keep us in bondage. And Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. God loves you. Your life is precious. He can use you. And regardless of what has happened in your life, He can redeem it and He will redeem it.
Hey, this is Brent Evans with Exo Marriage, and I want to thank you for listening to the Marriage Today podcast. We believe your marriage has a 100% chance of success if you do it God's way. If you enjoyed today's teaching and want to keep learning, hey, subscribe to the Marriage Today podcast and take some time to leave us a review. Your reviews help us spread the word and can encourage someone else in need. For more great marriage content, check out exomarriage.com, where you can see all of our marriage building resources, articles, and live events.